What's going on, people? This is Lecrae.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Kel Mitchell.
Picky Wine is that. Will be me.
Yo, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Brian Hooks.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole.
Yo, what up, y'all? It's your boy, Kev, on stage.
Yo, what's up? This is Doug E. Fresh.
What up? It's DJ Emmy for that Breakfast Club.
What's up, everybody? It's Mr. Talkbox.
Hello there. This is Kim Burrell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Cardi Cortez.
Well, hello there. I am Ja'Kalen Carr.
Good afternoon. It's Jess with the Mess.
Hey, everyone. This is Faith Jessie.
My name is Kid from Kid and Play.
Peace to the planet. Charlemagne the God here.
What's up, y'all? Las Vegas. It's Said Entertainer. I want you to download and tune into the greatest gospel station in the Las Vegas area.
It's the number one gospel station.
Number one gospel station.
Number one gospel radio.
Check it out. I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go download Anointed Radio app.
From either the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
For 24/7 gospel.
Make sure to check out their website at anointedradionetwork.com.
Music for the soul, music for your spirit, music to lift your heart.
That soul food for your body, that energy for your spirit.
Gospel in the morning, gospel for lunch, gospel at dinner, and then you go to sleep. You know what? Guess what? You're dreaming about some gospel.
Sometimes these are the songs that really uplift us and get us through some of the tough times.
Salute Pastor J. Calhoun and Anointed Radio.
Know your boy wouldn't steer you wrong. Go listen right now. You feel me?
Check them out without no doubt, because gospel is what it's all about.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Jay. And like always, I have something to say. And we're going to start off with normal fashion with a scripture and a prayer. And today we're coming out of 1 Timothy 1:12. And it says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me the strength that he has considered me trustworthy and appointed me to his service. When I look at that scripture there, I just get thankful that God allowed me to have a ministry, that he saw fit for me to, out of everybody, to have a ministry, to have Anointed Radio, to be able to do the great things that God has opened the doors for. Because if it wasn't for God, I would not be here. So I thank God, and I just think about those moments where it get rough, and he's my strength in those times. When I want to give up, when I be sitting there discouraged, I think about what God is brought me from and what he has brought me to and all the great things, and just hearing the stories of how people have enjoyed Anointed Radio and enjoyed all the great things. It just sets up a fresh wind. And I'm thankful for God for trusting me in these ministries. Amen. Amen. Let's go to prayer. Dear Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for everything that you have allowed me to do. I thank you for trusting me with the ministries that you've put in my life. I thank you for being the God that has just been amazing in my life. God, I just thank you for being loving when I didn't even love myself. So God, I just thank you and I glorify you. God, I ask you to just be able to bless everybody under the sound of my voice to see the evidence of you in their daily life. God, I just ask you to just be able to go forth today and let something be said, something that could be able to heal, something that could be able to mend, something that could be able to just go forth and help somebody. God, if anybody has strayed away from you, God, I just pray that your relationship with them gets stronger, that your voice is louder so that they could be able to hear from you. God, I just ask you to let us be able to reach the unreachable, teach the unteachable, and even touch somebody even with the hardest heart to say, what can I do to be saved? God, I ask you to enlarge the territory of Anointed Radio to get to new airwaves, to new platforms, to new cities, to new countries. God, I just ask you to just bring an increase, Lord. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing in the midst. I thank you that whatever is coming our way, that you mentally prepare us as a platform to be able to go and represent you properly. God, everybody under the sound of my voice, God, just be able to give them a breakthrough. if they're dealing with something mentally, be able to help them find peace. If they're dealing with anything, habit, or if they're chained into anything that has really been bringing them down, God, I ask you to break those chains. Bless their finances. Bless their situation, their household. God, let you really show up in their life and show out. So God, I thank you. God, I honor you. God, I give you all the glory and all the praise. And we said it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. 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 It's Pastor Jalen. Like always, I got something to say. And what I got to say is this: you can follow me if you can't see the screen at Anointed Jalen. Anointed Jalen on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, them clubhouse streets. You can find me all in them same places at Anointed Jalen, A-N-O-I-N-T-E-D. J-A-Y-L-O-N. And if you want to get any of my music from Jesus, You Make Me Happy, Renew My Praise, My Team Reps Jesus, and Slip Away, Spirit Flow Through Me, or my latest song, Can I Get a Little Grace? Go ahead and go to all of those music streaming platforms and go get the single. Tell your mama and them, your cousin, your auntie, tell your grandmama, she gonna jam to it. That we all need some grace. So go ahead and get a little grace. Amen. So I just want you to know that it is an exciting day today because we're almost to the summer. The Stellars have announced their nominees. Things are being planned. City of Las Vegas is preparing for the welcoming of all the saints and the body of Christ that's going to come to Vegas and be hot and complain about how hot it is. But we, the people that live here, we're going to be like, it ain't even that hot. I've said it so many times on the red carpet. It's crazy. So make sure that you guys go and check out all the nominees. There's so many great nominees that were nominated this year. So definitely go ahead and support. We even have independent artists. That was one thing I was looking at because, you know, we see the same people, you know, getting nominated at the Stellars. But to see an independent artist be nominated, I thought that was powerful. It was a change, and it was something worth to be able to say, yes, we could see a new wave, a new generation. There's a lot more people that could have been nominated, but there's a time and a place for it. But I am an advocate for these independent artists that don't have the big labels and the names yet to be able to get their chance and their breakthrough. There's going to be some amazing people at all of the showcase that's coming for the Stellars this coming up July. And there's going to be comedy shows. There's going to be I got to say the place I'm hosting, the Urban Cafe White and Denim Party. That's going to be amazing. It's going to be a showcase there, and we're going to be honoring some people. It's going to be a great time in Las Vegas. So if you haven't did it yet, go ahead and go book your flights. Go ahead and get your hotel. Don't do it last minute, because I could tell you right now, it's going to be expensive to come to Las Vegas, because there's going to be some people that's coming to Las Vegas that ain't coming for Jesus. Hello, somebody. So make sure that you beat the crowd and meet us out here in Las Vegas. It's coming up soon. It's going to be a whole lot of things that's happening. So with that being said, we got a few people that's not here tonight. We have the prophet doctor who just graduated with her doctorate from Liberty University. Shout out to Tish Sheard. Prophetess Tish Sheard. She's having her conference. Renewal. I say it wrong every time. See, if she was here, she could say it. I'd be wrong with titles, but her conference, go check out fervorlycreations.com. So I don't butcher up the name, and you could be able to go and get your tickets. I'm being honored there. It's such an honor to be able to be honored for what I've done in media, and I'll be performing. Yeah, I'll be performing there as well. So it's definitely going to be a great time in the Lord in Huntsville, Alabama, coming up June 21st to the 23rd. So definitely check it out. And Miss Keisha LaToy Glass, she's on the sick and shutting list for today. And she is doing great things. I mean, every time I see her Facebook and Instagram, she on billboards and magazines and all these great things. So definitely go check her out as well. But we got, you know, my favorite family member in the building today. She looked like she out and about, but we're going to see how this go. Miss Yielded from the Fire Show.
What's happening? What's happening? What's going on?
Nothing much. You know what I don't like?
You don't like what?
I don't like that you're outside. So.
But we just had like a whole storm and I ain't got no power. It like went through real quick. And so I'm doing the very best I can doing what I got. You know what I'm saying?
You know, it's crazy. Houston is not scared of a lot of things, but when it comes to storms, y'all be shivering.
Listen, the storm was like 7 minutes and knocked out like 5,000 houses of power and electricity and all of that good stuff. So, yeah, man, I mean, I'm out here.
It looked like you reported. It looked like you're going to say, ain't nobody got time for that.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Reporting live from these Houston streets.
Hold on. Let me go get my microphone. Here's my microphone. So, Miss Yielded, go ahead and tell everybody where you can be found in these social media streets and websites and all that good stuff. And you have a show coming up and a lot of other stuff happening too, don't you?
Man, listen, the show is this past weekend, but you can find me on everything Yielded, Y-I before E, except after C. Yielded on Facebook, I Be Yielded on Instagram, I Be Yielded on YouTube, man. Had an amazing show this weekend. Listen, the Queens of Clean Comedy, they had the people using the restroom on itself. They was laughing so hard. But yeah, we all out here in these streets got a million thousand things going on. I'm going to be out in them Vegas streets soon. And listen, man of God, I know you got something to say, but don't lie to the people. It's like real, real hot. So last year I was there and that Vegas heat melted my contacts. I kid you no lie. They was like melted to my eyeballs. And I was like, why come I can't see? And I pulled them up and they look like, you know how the edges of the Reese's Pieces, Reese's cup paper is ridged. That's what my contacts was looking like on my eyeballs. So that heat is different. And it melted my flip-flops. You got to buy Vegas flip-flops. You can't wear Houston flip-flops in Vegas.
Mm-mm. Well, first of all, it's hot. So right now it's already hot. I believe it's 93 degrees and it's still May. And, you know.
The devil is there.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you experience this and you still want to go to hell, I don't know what to tell you, you know.
Listen, we was walking down the street. I looked over there and Satan himself was sitting there talking about, do y'all got some ice? So I know it's hot. It's hot.
Yes. So I definitely got to bring that back. Every year I always have to do the simple reminders with Pastor Jay, where I have to remind everybody, make sure y'all drink some water. It is heat stroke season. Heat stroke is happening right now in the city of Las Vegas. EDC is happening. All the foolishness in the middle of the desert is happening, where it is a very crazy time and these traffic is crazy. So make sure that you avoid all the 15. Because the traffic's going to be looking like LA. And make sure that you drink a lot of water if you are going to participate with the EDC festivities and functions and all the good jazz. We've listened to the oomps, oomps for like 2 days.
So, I got lights. I'm going back inside.
Oh, amen. Praise God. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and bring up a guest that I'm definitely felt honored to have onto the platform. I am so excited to have him. I actually watched every season of the show that he's been on. And it was, I'm a big fan of Pastor Cal. See, I already said it, but if you could read, you already knew who was coming on anyway, but the phenomenal Pastor Cal is in the building today. You know him from Married from First Sight. Married at First Sight. You know him from social media. You know him from his marriage counseling seminars and the great things he's doing at Progressive Church in Atlanta, Georgia. I just am happy to have him on the platform. Everybody welcome Pastor Cal, y'all.
What's up? What's up? How you guys doing?
Doing good, Pastor Cal. How you doing?
Man, I am not complaining. I'm not complaining. What's up? What's up, Pastor Jay? What's up, Miss Yielded?
How are you, sir? Listen, I'm trying to get some lights over here. The people didn't read the Bible that the Lord said, let there be light. Uh-huh. But I'm in here.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to go and do an icebreaker question. And the icebreaker question, I like this icebreaker question, so I want to bring it back. Okay. This icebreaker question that we're going to have tonight is, if you can have dinner with any historical figure, who would it be? And what would y'all talk about?
I'm scared.
Ooh, you want me to go first?
Anybody?
Yes, sir. Pastor, you go first.
Yield
I'm praying.
Yield it. Why don't you yield? Go on.
I'm trying to pray over here because I don't know if my answer gonna be godly, man of God. That's so you probably need to go first.
You know what? Because the obvious answer is Jesus, but I don't need a historical figure because he ain't history. He's present.
Amen.
So we have to choose somebody else. You know, I believe one of my favorite biblical persons is probably King David.
Mm.
You know, I would like to sit down with David. I mean, you're talking about a guy who had a career that was filled with all kinds of stuff. And he was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was had all these different issues going on in his life. But still, he was a man after God's own heart. I would love to find out, you know, just sit down and talk to him and see what inspired him as he was writing the Psalms and singing the Psalms. You know, I would love to talk to him.
Amen. Okay.
And Pastor Dave, did you say biblical or just person?
It just historical. It could be biblical.
So Pastor Carl, you were a little too safe for me. I was thinking, I was thinking Idris Elba because.
He ain't historical.
He ain't historical. He's still alive. But he
handsome though.
What?
See, that's why I say I ain't want to go. I ain't want to. I'm sorry. Don't worry about it. I pass.
Now, I'll give you some time. The person I would love to talk to is James Cleveland. Because I would love to talk about how during that era, especially because it's a little bit before my time, but I would love how he was able to structure and bring everybody together in the music community, because that's one commodity that's missing nowadays is that the commodity of bringing, you know, when he brought the workshops and was able to bring everybody to sing and no one was talking about, oh, it's just my church or it's all about me. Everybody was worshiping and enjoying themselves and learning and then going back to their church and learning, teaching their churches about the things that they learned at the workshop. So I would love to be able to have a dinner with him. I think that would be, as me being a singer, I think that would be very dope. And add Maddie Clark as well in there at the table. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. So y'all real deep tonight. See, that's Thursdays. Okay.
I could go a little lighter. That was deep, but I mean, I said David, but you know, I can go a little more recent. I would have said Frederick Douglass, and I thought a little bit more.
Yeah,
that was the man.
You still deep, Pastor Carl.
Really?
Yeah, y'all want to talk to people that's like really done some things and had real major impact. And see, I feel like they already had their time and their tenure. And so I don't really want to talk to anybody that's past. It's the lives that's here today that I want to influence and glean from. So yeah, I need some live people. I don't want to go back and get that's just me though. I'm sorry. That wasn't quick.
No apology necessary.
Ain't no apology. You could have picked somebody though. That's what you could do. I'm just saying, Miss Yield.
You asked me who I want to talk to. I don't want to talk to nobody that's going on.
Well, I don't want to talk to them either. If I'm talking to them, it means that I'm there too. So
my mind went first, Pastor Carl. I'm gonna let the dead bury the dead and go over there and talk to him too, because I'm not doing it.
Hey, see, misyielded. Amen. Praise God. See, you got your lights back on, and now we got a preview of y'all comedy special. So you need to get on somebody TV and talk for a few minutes.
Listen, go ahead and put that in the atmosphere one more time. You said it, now say it again.
You need specials.
Hey.
On Pure Flix.
I just received it. I don't care what Flix is. Put me on the TV. Put me on that. But I got something to say. I'm with Pastor Jay.
So, let me go ahead and pay some bills real quick. If you did not know, Monday was the Aces ring ceremony for being the back-to-back champions. And it was a phenomenal. They beat out their competitor 80-60. Shout outs to the WNBA Las Vegas Aces. The Lady Aces are doing great things. Everybody knows that Las Vegas just became a new mecca of sports, and we're having the Las Vegas Athletics come soon in 2028. We're going to have the Olympics come here soon. There's a lot of things happening here in Las Vegas that is transforming, you know, sports, bringing it here in the city of Las Vegas. So it definitely shout out to them. Shout out to all of our media partners, the Las Vegas Raiders, the Las Vegas Golden Knights, the Las Vegas Lights, and the Las Vegas Aviators, which will soon turn into Las Vegas Athletics. And shout out to all of the boxing and UFC that happens here. And if you did not know, Mike Tyson, Iron Mike Tyson at 50, is about to knock out, I said it, Jake Paul. Yes, yes, I said it. Yeah, because I'll be scared to go against him. He got old man strength now. See, before he had regular strength. Now he got that modified old man strength with wisdom. So, hey, Netflix, July, coming soon to your TV. Check out Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson. So,
his teeth ain't as strong, though, in his older age.
Well, and he's more focused now.
Yeah.
We just fight the man, that's all.
Hey, hey. he's calm now. That's all I can say. So we're going to go ahead and go into the interview. And in this interview process, we're going to first get all of the necessities out, you know, introducing you to some and reintroducing you to others, real Baptist-like. And we're going to go ahead and ask Pastor Cal. Pastor Cal, where is your hometown and where do you reside now?
I am from ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That's where I live. I'm actually from Virginia. So I spent a lot of my life in Virginia. Most of my adult life was in Washington, D.C. area, the DMV, we call it, D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. But for the last probably 13 years, I've been in Atlanta. So this is where we, just outside of Atlanta in Roswell, Georgia. Yeah.
Okay.
Me, so, my wife, and my children, we all live here.
So you got the whole family affair there.
Your last one of them. Right.
That means y'all could do them a Dia family reunions where everybody comes to the pot.
Tyler Perry right here.
Right.
You know.
Old studio right there.
The old studio.
So I definitely want to ask this question as well. What was your very first ministry in church?
Wow. When you said the very first ministry that I participated in.
Yes.
Okay. Oh my gosh, man. Jeez, you're going way back. Dude, I probably music ministry. Probably, you know, when I was very, very young, when I was very young, even before college, actually, I actually sang in a quartet, an a cappella quartet. And I did that for years. I mean, literally for years throughout college and even sometime after that. So I think that's the first ministry I participated in was probably music, you know, a cappella music, actually. Yeah, some of my buddies in college, you know, from the group Take Six, you know, I don't know if you heard of them, Take Six. Yeah, those are some of my buddies in college. And so we all were into a cappella and what have you. So, yeah.
My God.
Unknown fact.
Right? Unknown fact about Pastor Cal, that he got an album out there.
Right. Yeah, I sang baritone and bass.
Okay. Yep. So the thing that I would want to ask is, what inspired you to pursue marriage counseling and marriage and relationship, being a relationship expert? What inspired you to go that route? Because you could have been like with Take Six and had your, you know, had your CD out there and had your songs.
We could have.
So you could have been Barry White. You'd be like, so.
Yep. Quiet storm.
Mm-hmm. Sure, you're right. Yeah, we sure. Well, you know, I almost sang, but I'm not gonna sing. But here's the thing. I think what really inspired me to get involved in marriage counseling, first of all, in college, my undergraduate, of course, was in theology, and a part of that was pastoral counseling, a minor in music. Then I went to got a master's degree in Masters of Divinity, and there was also pastoral counseling involved in that. And then I did doctoral studies in ministry also, and so that just continued it. But outside of that, we I think my own life experience, you know, I mean, as pastors, you know, we naturally have to counsel people. But what happened was that I was married at a very young age, and it was a very stupid decision. I'm gonna be straight with you. It was a very dumb decision. I got married at like 23 something. I didn't know nothing, but you know, I was actually pastoring a church at that age, and I got married that young, and it was just too much. Marriage was just terrible, and it didn't last. And so I found myself on the losing end of what I thought was going to be a great marriage. And it was just completely untenable, completely unable to be sustained. And so I'm a second timer, actually. So after going through that very traumatic experience, I remember after that, a friend of mine called me, who's a music artist, actually. And he said, "Man, I need you to do my wedding." I said, "Dude, you know, I just got a divorce." He said, "Yeah, that's why I want you to do it." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Because you know both sides, and I know you. I know you're going to be real with it." And I said, "Okay." Now, I was already doing it before that, but at that moment, at that time, a light came on. It's almost like God spoke to me and said, "Okay, this is where I need to be." So we kept it rolling from that point on. Then I met my wife now, and it has been like just an incredible asset to my life. And we just took this thing and just kept moving with it.
That's awesome. And Pastor Carl, I want to ask this question. I know Pastor Jay's got another one, but I want to ask this question because I know there's a lot of stigma, and there's all of these demands and requirements in ministry that pastors are married and or that they marry before they can take certain churches.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Do you see, even in 2024, that still exists? Do you see that as being some of the downfall of marriage within the churches?
Absolutely. That's the reason I got married that early and that young, because it was almost a mandate. You know, that if you're going to be married, you know, you need to, you know, have a, yeah, if you're going to be pastoring a church, you need to have a wife, you know? And so, you know, I probably wouldn't have gotten married as early as I did, but yeah, there was a mandate. And I think that's ridiculous. You know, you don't get married because of your job. You don't even God doesn't call people to ministry because of marriage. You know, if he calls you, you know, and your wife comes along, or your husband comes along, or whoever he's calling, they come along. But they have to understand that the calling is your calling. It's not their calling. I told my wife when we got married, I said, "Look, I'm not expecting you to be a pastor's wife. I'm expecting you to be my wife, you know, and let them accept you."
Come on. You better be
sermon right now, sir. You better preach.
Please. I told her, and she said, "Okay, that's all I needed to hear." And so she ain't been following nobody's rules. She does her. That's the woman I met. That's the one I grew in love with. That's the woman I married. So I don't want her all of a sudden to start wearing, you know, shirts up to your neck, and you gotta be this and you gotta be that. No, you be you. You be you. God's dealing with you just like he's dealing with me. So we're not gonna trip.
Amen. Listen, I love all of that. I'm coming to marriage counseling at your church.
Okay.
I got to find my man first, but don't worry about that part. I'm just going to show up. So yeah, that's
you want to be counseling before you get the man. Now that's another topic, but you know, you really ain't, you're not off base at all.
Listen, I'm for real about it too, because yeah. I was actually dating a pastor, and I was like, "So listen, sir, what I'm not gonna do is wear that big ridiculous hat. So if that's a requirement, the deal is off at dinner. When we finish the food, I'm leaving, and you can buy them ridiculous hats for somebody else." But go ahead, Pastor Jay, because you know this is serious for me. I can talk all day about this because I'm a two-time loser already. So number three better be ready.
No, those two times were only practice, girl. You didn't lose. You're not
Listen,
losing.
That was three. I got the notes, Pastor Carl. I know what to do now.
Right. You didn't lose. You learned. You're a two-time learner.
I'm gonna choke. I mean, I'm gonna lay hands on him.
Come on,
Jesus. Amen. So with nearly three decades of experience in public speaking and teaching, what significant changes have you observed in the dynamic of relationships over the years?
I think more recently what I found out, what we see, there's a trend. There's a trend that's happening. And we're going to get deep into this. The trend is I think that people are becoming less committed to marriage and less committed to the tradition of marriage, and they're becoming much and not only that. Look, I believe in some traditions. I think some traditions are good. I think they're great. I think the reason that our parents stayed together for 35, 40, 50 years is because they believed in the tradition of marriage. And right now, I mean, you talk to somebody nowadays, and okay, I'm going to just talk about it. You talk to some younger people now, this generation we're in now, and all you hear are all these ridiculous comments about relationships and about, you know, if a man is too, Pastor Jay, I don't know if I can say this, but I'm going to say it. If a man is too kind or whatever, he's a simp, you know, or he's a pick me, they call it, or all these other ridiculous names, you know. I remember my son, my middle son, who's a handsome, handsome guy. He tells me all the time, he says, Dad, you know what? I'm going to have to go out of this country to find somebody. Because when I find somebody now, and I mean, he's got a career, you know, he's good looking. And he says, but women only want you for your money now. And he actually, this is just a trend. I'm just telling you the trend. He actually said that he went to talk to somebody. And she said, well, if you cash at me X number of dollars, I'll give you my phone number. Cash at me.
Mighty God.
You know, and then we can talk. First date has got to be a trip. What is going on here? What is going on? People are forgetting that it's about relationship and not about what you can get out of this, get financially out of this thing. So I think that it's a very dangerous trend that's happening now, that people have sort of they trivialize marriage and trivialize the sanctity of it and the necessity of being in something where two people are valuing each other and vowing to work through whatever to reach a common goal. Yeah.
And I think the sad part about it, I've said this for years, the same way that they treat Jesus is going to be the same way they treat everybody. So if they just look at God for when they need something, they're going to look at you for when they just need something. And that's a personal thing that they got to fix out of self, because a lot of times you can't fix somebody that if they treat God that way, they for sure going to treat you.
They're going to treat you like dirt, right? So absolutely. You know, there's a text that says, you know, husband loves your wives as Christ loved the church. And, you know, wives, and I use this word, reverence your husbands. You know, and I think that that's even offensive to people nowadays to hear that, you know, the wives reverence. And it doesn't mean to reverence. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord, you know. And that's such a scary thing to say. There are people out there now who would say, no, I ain't submitting to no man. I'm not submitting. Well, look, it says as unto the Lord. OK, so the bottom line is you're submitting yourself to that man as he's submitting himself to God. That's how it's supposed to go.
Part right there,
you know. That's the only way it can happen. You submit yourself to a knucklehead who's going to try to rule over you. That's a different ball game. And I tell men this. I said, look, don't expect your wife to submit to you and you're not being a leader. You're talking about, you know, I want a Proverbs 31 woman. You could better be a Proverbs 31 man.
And you're right, people, you know, especially, you know, the younger generation, they definitely have a problem with that word submission.
They do.
I say a lot in, you know, my little sister circle, which is very, very small. So I think it's like two of us. So it's not really a circle. It's trying or something. But either way, I tell
them. Partnership.
Yes. Say it again, sir.
That's a partnership. They ain't a circle.
Yeah. little triangle. I don't know. But just, you know, in my close circle. Group of friends, it's like I have no problem with submitting myself to a man. Submission is not a bad word to me. But again, because the divine structure has been dismantled and disrupted, people don't really, they don't buy into marriage or relationships or anything. Yeah, that's just my Come on.
Well, you know, one thing that is that we see that is a common trend is that relationships are something that is torn in all aspects: friendships, parenting, child and mother, auntie, cousin, your friend, your best friend, before it gets a spouse. Because when it comes down to relationship, a reason why a lot of people say I'm cutting you off, because there's this new phrase where I could just cut people off, even though the Bible says if you have an ought with somebody, go and fix that ought. You just say, no, I ain't gonna deal with you, I'm gonna cut you off. And then you get to a point where you start doing that as a pattern. And you start doing that every time it gets rough, every time it gets to a situation that triggers you, that has a lot of time not to do anything with the person. It has to do with you and things that you haven't healed from. Yeah. It gets to a point where now everybody is not having relationships. It's situationships, like the young people say, where you're like, well, I'll deal with you as long as you say the things I want you to say. I'll deal with you as long as I can get something out you. And it's going into intimate relationships now. Because if you treat, like I said, if you treat God this way, your mama this way, your cousin, it's a pattern. It's starting to become how you are in your lifestyle. Yeah. So I want to ask this, with you dealing with so many couples, what are some of the common challenges in relationships that you come across?
Yeah. Well, there are so many, but I'll just give you a couple. One is the inability to change. I think people are terrified of changing. And nowadays, especially, we hear, don't change me, you know, accept me as I am. And just don't judge me. Don't change me. When people come to me, I'll talk to a couple and they'll say, well, you know what, you're not the same man I married. He's not the same. She's not the same woman I married. I'm saying, well, duh.
And that's a good thing.
Of course not. I mean, who is the same person that you were 10 years ago? We're not even the same people we were last week or last night. Every experience you have in life changes you. Everything that you go through changes you. And people need to start embracing the fact that change is actually good.
Yes.
Change is good. Anything that does not change dies. Anything that does not grow dies. Growth is the evidence of life. And change is definitely completely connected to growth. As you grow, you change. Okay. And I think quite often people, you know, have this idea that once they get married, you know, that they don't want to change. They don't accept me as I am. Yeah, I'll accept you as I am when I meet you. But I'm expecting you to grow. I'm expecting you to be better. I'm expecting you to advance, just like I'm expecting to advance. You know, so I think that one thing is learning how to embrace change. You know, and the second thing is learning how to reconcile, learning how to say, I'm sorry, and how to apologize and how to receive and accept forgiveness. I believe that if you can learn to reconcile with a person, we have this thing that we tell couples, because we have this, our marriage community in Atlanta. We said, if you can resolve a conflict in the first 5 minutes, you can save yourself 5 days of hell.
Ooh.
Because a whole lot of folk walk around fussing, mad at each other for weeks and weeks and days and days. If you can learn to just focus in and resolve that thing in the first 5 minutes, you can save yourself 5 days of misery. And the way you do that is you have to learn that the problem cannot be connected to the person. The problem is the problem. The person is not the problem. So whenever you have a conflict, you take that conflict, put it on the shelf, and you look at that thing and say, that conflict, I don't care who started it. I don't care who's mostly responsible for it. That problem right there, that is the enemy of our marriage. Mm. You might be 100% responsible, or you might be 50% responsible. I'm 50. You might be 80% responsible, and I'm 20%. But whatever the percentage is, you're 100% responsible for whatever your percentage is. So look at that problem and say, look, we're going to fight this thing together. You know, I don't care what we got to do. I'm going to push through my pride. I'm going to push through my anger. And I'm going to let you know we're not the enemy. The problem is the enemy. And we're going to attack that thing. And once you do that, you realize, you know what? There's nothing we can't overcome.
Mm. There it is. Man, you're doing your good preaching. Wait. Send me to church, Andrew. I'm coming to counseling and I'm coming to church. Yeah. I'm going to say that to you.
Huh? What's that?
I'm coming to the church and the council, and I'm going to stay there until you show up.
Come on.
Yeah. So I'm going to put the address that they say he that find it. Y'all going to know. He going to know where to find me at, because I'm going to be right there with Pastor Cal.
Come on with it.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry, Pastor Jay.
Oh, no problem. I was just going to ask, speaking about church, how do you manage between marriage counseling? You was on a hit Lifetime TV show on Netflix called Married at First Sight, husband, father, and how do you manage all of that?
It's tough. I have an incredibly supportive wife. I have an incredibly supportive wife. She's my ride or die. When we met, she was on her way to becoming a nurse anesthetist. Very smart, very driven, a leader. But when I told her that I had to move out of town to go to a church, she decided to leave her program and follow me. I told her, no, let's commute. We weren't married yet. She said, nope, I'm not going to leave you. We're going to make this work. I'm going to give up my program and I'm going to come with you. So she did. And I promised her, I said, if you do this, and I'm telling you not to, but if you want to do this, I'm going to make sure that you don't ever have to work again a day in your life if you don't want to. Okay.
So is this a nurse now or no?
No, she gave it up. And we went completely in ministry together. And I'm saying all that to say, and I always give her kudos whenever I talk, because I'm saying all that to say that you cannot do all this stuff without her. I couldn't possibly do all this without her help, her assistance, her support, her faith, her confidence, and sometimes her leadership. You know, because I believe as far as that submission thing, Ms. Yielded, I think the men and women need to learn submission. Submission's a two-way street. You know, she's a big help with the church. I do have a very able assistant. Shout out to Christian. And that's not who he is. That's his name, actually. He is a Christian anyway. But shout out to my man. He's my assistant pastor. Really very capable, very smart young man. So he helps out a lot as well. And then in addition to all that you were talking about, we also are working on an app because I wonder, we'll talk about that a little later. But that's another undertaking we have that's been a lot. But we do it together. We have an incredibly great group of friends who pitch in and help, and a pretty good team.
Blessing. Yeah. So is your wife a part of the counseling team?
Absolutely. We counsel together.
Oh, awesome.
We counsel together quite often. And I find that it's really beneficial because she brings a very nurturing, she's very insightful, and she brings that, especially with women. And whenever we're talking to a couple, generally the women and the men feel a lot more comfortable when they can hear two sides, from a male perspective and a female perspective. So it actually works out really well like that.
That's a blessing. That's really a blessing. I'm impressed, because most times that you hear of counseling, it's one or the other. Mm-hmm. And there's always that one side that's left out. They feel like they don't have a voice because I'm at a male counselor or the female. So that's definitely, I'm coming. Tell Sister Cal, I'm coming. I'm coming.
Come on, Cletus.
But I got to come by myself first. So, you know. He ain't found me yet.
I got you. Yeah. We're in Atlanta. Where are you?
I'm in Houston.
Okay. All right.
Listen, I don't know that I want anything out of Atlanta, man of God.
Amen. So the next question I have for you. Could you
leave my city alone? Okay, come on. I know where you're going.
My God, mighty God. Amen.
Help us, Jesus.
Can you share some insight into the mission and vision behind Married and Naked, the marriage coaching organization you cooperate with your wife?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, it was called Married and Naked. We changed the name. And I'll tell you why. It's now called Marriage Ain't for Punks. And we changed the name because when we went to copyright Married and Naked, it had some other stuff. You know, someone had already had that name and they were doing some things with that name that we were not interested in being associated with.
Okay.
So on the show that I'm on, I remember one time I was counseling this gentleman and I just told him, because he was acting like one, and I told him marriage ain't for punks. And he heard that, and it sort of just hit. It hit a different kind of way, and we've just been carrying that on ever since. And now I wrote a book called Marriage Ain't for Punks, in addition to our marriage counseling. But it started because, as I said earlier, I'm a second timer, and my wife is as well. She was in a very dysfunctional marriage, as was I. And so we came out of that, and when we met each other, it's an interesting story. From the time we met to the time we married, it was 6 months. 6 months. From the time we met, said hello, to the time we married. We've been married going on over 15, going on, well, it'll be 20 years soon, not too long. But we've been married, and it's been a journey. It's been a great journey, actually. But we decided that what we wanted to do definitely is to make sure that people knew how to navigate some of the challenges and issues that we went through. And so because we went through some things that we don't ever want to see anybody else go through, we started talking to a group. I was pastoring in Akron, Ohio. We started talking to a group there, and we saw people just really being healed. One couple had literally signed the divorce papers, literally, and brought them to our meeting. We had probably about eight or nine couples. They brought them to the meeting, said, do something. Can you help us? By the time we finished that 6 to 8 week meeting, they tore those papers up. They tore them up, and they found healing in their marriage. And we saw so many other couples that found healing in their marriage. So we said, okay, God, this is something that you obviously are calling us to do. And it just exploded from that point on to what we're doing now. And the show came, you know, as a result of that. They actually came looking for us, because we had a couple that we had suggested for another show. And that couple kept talking about what they had learned from us. So they approached us and asked me specifically if I would be on Married at First Sight, because they needed, you know, someone else to bring a different perspective. Well, actually, they asked me, what would you do differently? And I told them, you know, and so they liked it and said, would you join our show? And I said, okay. After I looked into it and found out what it was all about and had about 100 questions, then I decided to do it. And it's been a great ride ever since.
Wow.
And speaking about Married at First Sight, because everyone knows, I always side with you. When I watched the show, I'm like, Pascal talk good. Because me and the wife watch it together. I'm like, yeah, Pascal talk good. You heard that? So one thing I want to know, as one of the key experts at Married at First Sight, you play a very crucial role in guiding couples through this unique journey of marrying someone they just met. What drew you to participate in this social experiment? Because one thing I am definitely drawn to that Married at First Sight is because me and my wife, we knew each other before. We started dating in December. We was married by March, and we were married 13 years. And everybody called us crazy. Everybody said, you a fool. Somebody else said that you must have got a pregnant. And because I come from a family where they celebrate baby showers, but they don't celebrate marriage. So when it came down to that,
mighty God.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. Tell the truth, shame, devil.
That's funny. So
when it came down to this experiment, I definitely love to see the aspect, because I have seen people date for 10, 15 years, and as soon as they get married, they go into a horrible relationship.
Absolutely.
So,
mm-hmm.
I was going to say, elaborate, you know, what really got you drawn to that social experiment?
Well, you know, what's interesting about it is that this is a new take on arranged marriages. And that's how it was presented to me. And actually, the show started in Denmark. You know, that's the first show started in Denmark, and then it was brought and adapted to here. And now the show is, I believe, in, I don't know, like 10, 12 countries or something or another. But the thing is, what really interested me in it, first of all, is when I found out how it was done. And just to give you a little background, it's not as random as it looks on TV. Sure, they meet each other for the first time at the altar, but we have roughly about 3 or 4 months of vetting before we even choose them. Before we even choose them, you have to fill out a 75 question questionnaire to even be picked. And then after you fill out that questionnaire, there's another questionnaire of roughly about 300-400 questions that you have to, and we ask you everything you could conceivably think of. All those questions are on there. And once you've answered those questions, then we go through a background check. We go through a social media check. Then we whittle that down to roughly about 100 or so people. And that's when we come in and we interview each person personally. We interview them all. We compare notes. Then they have psychological evaluations, two rounds of psychological evaluations. Then they have we have a medical evaluations to make sure they're healthy. We have to get a note from their doctor to make sure they ain't got nothing that nobody don't want. And then after all that, we have a home visit where we visit their homes. We want to see how they live. We talk to their families. This takes several months to do all this. And then we whittle that down from 100 or so down to, you know, basically 5 couples, and we do all these comparative analyses. Some of them we find out where they're compatible, but we find out their compatible differences. What are they like and how are they different? And are their differences compatible? And once we do all that, then we sit down, sometimes up till like 2-3 in the morning, and we're matching. We have all these possibilities. And then after that, we talk to them again, and then we come back, we say, okay, fine, let's do this final match. Boom, 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 boom. And then we go and let them know, we found you a husband or we found you a wife. So it's a lot that goes in the background. And once I found out about that, I said, you know what, maybe I can get into this. Let me tell you a little bit about arranged marriages. Arranged marriages, actually, roughly about over 70% of the marriages worldwide are arranged. You know, people don't marry for love. They're marrying to connect legacy, to connect families. They're marrying for different reasons, not just because, oh, you so fine. Ooh, I love that. Or you, No, none of that. They're marrying to connect families. So those marriages are roughly about, they're over 90, they have over 90% success rate when they're arranged. In the Western hemisphere, we are romantically matched. We match somebody because we done fell in love. We marry somebody because, ooh, I can't live without you and all this stuff. And that's, it's not as stable as having a marriage because I've decided to be committed with you, as opposed to I just feel like I want to be committed to you. Mm. And so what we do is we try to get these people to make decisions and say, look, I'll give you an example. One lady in Charlotte, Greg and Deanna. Yes, Deanna and Greg. Deanna told me, and I'll never forget this, and I think she's incredible for this, and they had a baby a couple years ago, the cutest little guy, Declan. And she said, whoever's standing at that altar, we're going to be married forever. She didn't even met him. She said, I'm going to trust the process. I'm going to trust you guys. And whoever's standing there, we're going to be married forever. And you know what? They've been married and they got a baby and they're doing great because they both decided that we're going to do this thing. And no matter come hell or high water, we're not giving up. Mm. So that's a successful arranged marriage. And we have roughly about 12 couples that are still together, 12 or 13 couples. I think we're about a 20% success rate. And we have roughly about 14 babies. You know, that ain't bad. We're the most successful relationship show, marriage show on TV.
Because y'all beating Ultimatum. I said it right now. Yeah, y'all beating Ultimatum all day. Nick Lachey,
we all in there. So I'm not a TV person, Pastor Cal, so I have no idea about any of these shows. Don't know anything about it.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch it just now, but I have to ask this question. Being a pastor, being a man of God, being in ministry, knowing what the word of God says about he that findeth. Y'all, they not finding them, y'all out here putting them together. So do you feel like that could potentially look like, or do you even feel it's compromising your theology or your knowledge of the word of God or any of that?
No.
Y'all putting these people together.
No, I don't. I'm glad that I'm there because as a spiritual advisor, I'm the spiritual advisor on the show, you know, that I can bring, even though I don't talk about God, I don't talk about Jesus, it's in everything I say.
Mm-hmm.
It's in everything I do. When I tell people about what love looks like, you know, I tell them, you know, in order to really love somebody, you got to be patient. You got to be kind. You know, you can't think of yourself. That's 1 Corinthians 13. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm going to give them the word. Now, we're providing the platform for people to marry. Do I feel like this goes against the he that findeth? I think that scripture, when you look at that, it says, the person who finds a wife, it didn't say how you find.
Okay. All right.
These people who come to us, they finding a wife.
Okay. All right.
You know, they just
not a baby mama, not a situationship.
Right. It's a wife. And the emphasis there is finding a wife.
Yeah, that's what I tell everybody. I'm already a wife. I'm just waiting to be found. Right. I'm being sought after.
It didn't say finding a woman to become a wife. You got to already be in wife mentality.
Yeah.
Before he finds you, you got to be acting like a wife. You got to be a wife on social media. You got to be dressing like a wife. You got to be talking like a wife. Somebody.
Now you won't change. Now you want me to change, Pastor K. I was with you until you got to that one.
I'm just saying. If you want to be a wife, you ain't going to. Hey, I'm sorry, but OnlyFans.
That ain't my ministry. That's not my ministry.
I know that ain't your ministry, but you know, I'm just saying there are people out there talking about I'm looking for a husband, but he ain't looking for you.
Yeah. So what do y'all, and I'm asking for, you know, my friends, it's like three of us, but what y'all do with the leftovers? Where the extras?
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up, Miss I Don't Watch TV. Because that kind of leads segue into I believe there's a new show that you're going to be part of called Unmatchable, The Unmatched.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a prophet in my own right. Don't worry. I'm prophetic or pathetic, one of the two. Don't worry about it.
Actually, Unmatchables, it aired, some time ago, but you can find it. It'll be probably coming on one of the streaming platforms. But Unmatchables is a show where all the people who we wanted to match but could not, we found them. We sent them out on dates and tried to match them. So that was one show. We did that. There was another one we did also called Second Chances, Married at First Sight Second Chances, where we gave people second chances at love. We get, Wendy and I, we get about, oh God, I don't even know. I have to ask my sister. I don't know how many requests we get on a weekly basis. I know at one point it was like about 25, 30, maybe 40 requests weekly of what people asking, you know, to help them find somebody or help my marriage or what have you. So one thing that we're doing also, and I know that Pastor Jay, we're going to talk about this, but the reason that we're doing an app now is because there's such a great demand out there. You're talking about the leftovers. There's such a great demand. So many people out there who still can't find love. They're looking for it. They can't find a match. They can't find a partner. So we're attempting to do something very different with an app that we're starting called Marriage Ain't for Punks. And we're believing that that is also going to be a great tool for people to find something. It's unlike anything else that's been out there because that swiping thing, we're not trying to do that.
Yeah, I don't think I want them leftovers. I want some that's still good.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. No, I feel you.
Some good. Yeah, so that ain't for me. But thank you so much for the information.
No. The app has nothing to do with Married at First Sight, though. It doesn't have the Married at First Sight leftovers. No, these are actually people who are marriage-minded. The app is one app with three applications, and we're focusing on people who are married. Just complete resources for married people, whether you're dealing with marital conflict, intimacy, parenting, aging parents, vacations, date nights, you name it. Everything's going to be in that app. And then the second group we're dealing with are people who are dating, who are trying to be married. For them, there will be marriage counseling. There will be also videos and different resources where they can solidify their relationships. And then for marriage-minded people, single people who are not married and have not found the love of their life, we're going to have a part where they can actually get matchmaking services within the app. So this is one app with three different functions. So we said we're changing the game. We're turning it from a meat market to a mate market. So that's our whole thing.
So, say that again one more time for the slow saints.
We're changing it from a meat market to a mate market.
I like that.
Now, here's one thing that's so interesting about this app, since we're talking about it, and I brought it up, but here's one thing that's so interesting about it, is that on the matchmaking part, we are going to match people based on values. So we're, unlike other apps, I won't call any names, where you got to swipe left and right, we're not doing any swiping. We're going to, after you go through the algorithms, we're going to find one person who is matched for you. One person. And then you're not going to see that person. You're only going to see an avatar that you've created for yourself. You're going to communicate by avatar and get to know each other. And then you're going to mutually decide to remove the avatar so you can actually see each other.
I need these avatars to have realistic characteristics. I need to know. They don't give me no skinny man and he sizes my phone when I'm...
You know what? Listen,
I don't want no avatar with a BBL. I want a real life avatar. Don't play with it.
Here's the beauty in that. The beauty of that is that look, you're only going to have the avatar for a short while. So you got to be a real, something got to be wrong with you if I'm going to do an avatar looking like, you know, I'm some sort of supermodel. And then afterwards, you're looking like, you know, my 600-pound life. It's just not that's you have to, some have to be wrong with you if you're building an avatar that looks nothing like you, because the app is designed for the avatar to be removed and people to see the real you. So it, gotcha. You sort of have like a catfish. It's sort of like catfish
proof.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, coming from my, you know, I got my degree now in IT, so I could say from my educational background of algorithms, hello somebody, will there be something to stop catfish? Because we live in the troll catfish world. Absolutely. You know, because that's absolutely where that's a big thing. When you said avatar, the first thing that came in my IT mind is like, man, you need an algorithm, make sure that people ain't out here trolling and
absolutely
and something that they not, because it could yeah really mess with the integrity of the app
and absolutely
people's and trust. My friend has an app, and he said that was his big problem. He has an app called Churchy Date, and it's for the saints. And Churchy Date, he had a problem.
What's the name of it again? Hold on.
He had an app called Churchy Date, and it's for the saints. And he said his biggest problem that he was having was people not being honest and representing and
yes
integrity. So you had to really put some algorithms and some filters to make sure that people are being honest, and if someone gets reported, really kicking them off before the app gets
that's exactly oh, what is
that? Oh, you better put them thumbs up. See that? You didn't know you was gonna do that, but watch this.
I didn't know that one. They didn't upgrade at this.
I'm looking for love. I know that. And check.
You can do that?
Yeah, you can do all that. We doing too many at once.
Okay.
Yeah. Y'all so childish.
I don't realize. Let's play. No, but you're absolutely right, Pastor Jay. And one thing that we're really excited about is that, you know, we've teamed up with a company called Circle. And they actually are our developers, and they have an incredible amount of experience. They actually was our developers, one of the inventors. He actually invented the early iterations of Alexa. So he's a IT OG. So
come on, I like it.
And his actual resume is just ridiculous. And so we were really, really fortunate to have him work with us. And they've really been just incredible as they're building this thing. And as we're looking at some of the early mock-ups of the app, we're like, oh my God, this is going to be incredible. And we're expecting it to launch a soft launch at the end of this month. So we're really excited about it. And also invented. He was a co-founder of the Amazon Web Services, so he's a big guy.
So I have a question. Being out of Atlanta, are there rules to this thing? Are we, you know, we sticking with biblical principles, or are we, you know, allowing
you to go to time?
You know what? Here's the deal. I can answer that. Here's the deal. Okay, this is how it's going to work. Our app is not, because I am I'm a values-based person, it's a values-based app. Now, I'm not saying it's a religious app, because we're not having, you know, well, God will work it out, Jesus, we're not, because I've been a whole lot of couples, they said, you know, pastors said Jesus work it out, and they still making me sick. So no, this is not that app. This is not a Jesus will work it out app, you know? But what we're honest with you, but what we're doing is this. In the questions that we ask, okay? These are values-based questions. So if you are a man looking for a wife, the questions will bear that out, okay? Now, we cannot stop anybody from signing on to the app. You want to sign the app? You want to download it? You download it. You want to go through it? You got to go through it. We are not weeding anyone out. But what I am saying is this. If what you're looking for is not in the app, you won't be matched with it. Fair enough. You understand what I'm saying?
I'm a little slow. I like real live answers.
Okay. Well, we're marketing. We're marketing to husbands and wives.
Okay. Amen. Praise God.
We're marketing.
Look at my thumbs. I love all that.
That's our, that's our market. That's our market, husbands and wives. I'm not ashamed of that, or I don't make any apologies for that. There are a lot of apps out there for people, you know, bless their hearts, who are in the LGBTQIA+ community. You got apps, you know, other people that are farmers only, okay, fine. But we have our app, and our app is designed for traditional marriages. That's how it's designed. Of course, like I said, we can't stop anybody from signing on to the app. But I'm just telling you how it's designed.
Okay, so one thing I want to ask is this. What was your very most memorable moment in Married at First Sight?
Most memorable moment. Wow. Probably... okay. Probably one that you haven't seen yet. It's probably an upcoming season that you are not aware of yet. That's okay. The first thing that came to mind. So I can't share that because of spoilers. But outside of that one, probably the most memorable, one of the most memorable things, and I'm sure even after I say this, I'll probably think of something else, was probably my first season, because I was new and I was just beginning. I was season 4. It was just, that's probably my most memorable season. Not the most successful season. That was probably Philadelphia, I think, up to this date. Philadelphia is the most successful season. And that one was pretty memorable too. I told you I was going to think of something else. So Philadelphia was really a good season also. And Atlanta, there's so many great memories, man. There's so many great memories. Every city where we've matched a couple and they are still happy and they're still doing well and they're still having babies, you know, it's just always a blessing. I get phone calls. I just got a text just recently from one of my couples in Boston, from Shawnee's and Jeffy. And they just sent me a picture of their baby Laura, and you know, and it's just awesome stuff, you know, from Vinny and it's just calling names. There's so many couples, you know, in Atlanta, you know, I just got, you know, a message from them, you know, get messages from other people, you know, that's what makes it so beautiful, man, is that it's almost like it's a family, you know, and I got all these grandkids out here.
Amen. No. So going to the body of Christ, I'm bringing your pastor's cap, because one thing that's happening in the body of Christ is that divorce is rampant.
It is.
What some of the things that you can say that you would say that the body of Christ can be able to better work on when it comes down to relationships?
Yeah. I think that the body of Christ has to, first of all, understand that divorce has happened and it will keep on happening. I think that to fight the battle of, you know, we don't want anybody to divorce. We want, because I don't think, God, this is so controversial. I don't think the problem is divorce. I think the problem is marrying. It's who you marry, you know? And I think we're focusing on the fact that you're divorcing, but look, if you married a creep, if you married a potential abuser, if you married somebody who's going to be horrible to you and you find out, yeah, you need to get out of there. You know, I'm not that guy. I'm not that guy who's going to tell you, well, you know what? God's going to work it out no matter what it is. God said, no. If your life is in danger, you get away from that so-and-so. You know, if this person is destroying you from the inside out, you need to leave. You know, if she's a serial adulterer or he's a serial adulterer and you're putting your family at risk and your body at risk and your health. No, you need to make some decisions. Now, that being said, do I know of couples who have gone through those things and have succeeded? Absolutely. And I do encourage folk that if you're going through that, seek counseling. Let's see what we can do. But if there's a person who will not change, they will not change their course of action, then you have to make some decisions. I think the body of Christ needs to realize that. You know, I know what scripture says. It says God hates divorce. I get it. I've read that, and I know what it means. That God, when he was talking to Israel, he was saying, I'm trying to produce a godly seed. So I need you as my chosen people to stay together so that I can have a godly legacy. That's what he was saying. And that was Israel. That was Israel he was talking to. He turned around and told King David, I'm sorry, I'm going to get into this now. He's turned around and told King David after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and Uriah, and he killed Uriah. And then all of a sudden the prophet came to him and the prophet's talking to David and told David this story about this little ewe lamb. You know that story, y'all biblical people. And he said, listen, David says, where's the man? I'm going to kill him. He stole this man's ewe lamb, little lamb. And I'm going to tell me where he is. And then the prophet said, no, you're that man because you stole Uriah's wife. You know, when you had all these other women. And this is what God told David. He said, David, I would have given you wives. That's what he told David. Now, Christian folk can go crazy with that. They are, but it's in the Bible. And what that tells you is that God understood the social aspects of the time. He understood that people were divorcing, et cetera, et cetera. And so God was like, look, man, I will give you what you want because I realize that if you marry and divorce, it doesn't mean that you're going to lose me. It don't mean that just because you divorce, I'm no longer your God or you're no longer my child. It doesn't mean that just because your marriage breaks up and you find somebody better and things are going great now, that now, of course, I mean, I was brought up in a church where they told me that if you get divorced, you can't ever marry nobody ever again. I ain't in that church no more.
That sounds very, very Kojic, but as I proceed.
Well, come on now, don't. I'm with you. It wasn't Kojic, but it might as well have been, but go ahead. I hope I'm scratching where you're itching. You understand what I'm saying?
Because that's the main thing. I think these real honest conversations, because a lot of times what people go through in relationships, they say, well, pray about it. Well, you prayed about it. Yeah. Well, it's getting to a point where people have to be real. And one thing I did like about what you said is a lot of times people knew the person they got with in the first place. They just ignored the signs.
Absolutely.
And want God to fix it.
And they wanted, or they wanted to fix the person and thought God was going to cover it because they was trying to do God's job. And if the person ain't ready to come to God, if the person ain't ready to be changed, you just spinning wheels and nothing is happening. You're
spitting in the wind, man. It's like, you know, you have to understand that people, I have one couple that I admire so much. They're a young couple and they've been married now a little over 10 years. They came to us for pre-engagement counseling. Not premarital. They wanted pre-engagement counseling. They wanted us to counsel them, and we did. We took them through like about, I guess, for in about 6 weeks, we took them through counseling to see whether or not they should get engaged. Mm. They were just dating. And then once they said, okay, fine. All right, great. Well, they decided, you know what? I think that we're good. Let's get engaged. He asked her to marry him. So they now are getting married. And he said, okay, now we need premarital counseling. And so then we went through that. And now they're doing incredibly well as a couple. They're successful. They're happy. They're always referring back to that. But they understood it. They knew the assignment. You know, they knew that before they even got into something, they needed some guidance. And I think that the body of Christ is doing a poor job in preparing people for marriage. Mm. We're just not. We're doing a poor job. And sometimes, you know, we're just saying, you know, we're going to just pray over it. We're going to pray over y'all. We're going to anoint y'all. We're going to pray over y'all. And God's going to, no. That's why God gave us people. God works through us. God works through us. We are God's hands. You know, we're not God, but we're his hands. He uses people, just ordinary people, you know. But anyway, go ahead.
This is good stuff here. You're giving me hope today. And I'm going to say that because somebody just asked me just today, do you desire to be married? I said, this very moment that you just asked me, because you passed on here, I must just say, no, that ain't the words I said. But I was like, no, I at this point, yeah, I'm both pastors. I'm trying to be respectful. You understand? I'm being yielded.
Amen.
So, but in all seriousness, there's no real desire. I mean, I feel like I'm going to the circus out here. I mean, it's clowns, clown after clown after clown. It's like, you know, so this gives a little hope. Give a little hope that some people out here actually doing some good work, premarital, pre-engagement, things that are actually necessary and it's resourceful. Mm-hmm. And again, point all of that prayer and quote the scriptures and all of that, we may not have that level of faith at that point to even believe in that, to even get to that point. And so being able to bring some real light on it, man, is a blessing. I appreciate it, Pastor Cal. You and your wife. Absolutely. And what you're doing on the show too, I might apply, but that questionnaire threw me off and the psyche veil, so I don't know.
Amen. So this would be the last question. And the last question would be,
oh gosh, man. Go ahead.
The last question would be this. And this is something that I want you to kind of just reach out to the people that really down in this relationship. This, like somebody's told me, they was like, man, Pastor Jay, this dating pool got pee, throw up, vomit, everything in it, and it's not advertising. And I feel like,
you know, I had a show about that. I had a show about that. Seriously, there was poop in the dating pool. Mm-hmm.
And it, so many people are so discouraged, and I'm especially in the body of Christ. That's why so many people so frustrated and angry, because they're like, man, God, I know I'm not supposed to be here by myself. I know I'm not supposed to die by myself, God, but everybody that keeps coming is not working out. So what would you be your advice and your encouragement to that person that's going through that at this moment?
Yeah, I think one thing that's really, really important is if someone were to come to me and say that to me, and they have, one thing that I would say is, first of all, what are your requirements? What are you looking for? Do you have a list? Mm. And whenever I ask that, they say, yeah, I have a list. I know what I want. I have a list. I said, okay, fine. What's on the list? And they tell me, I said, okay, fine. Tear it up. Mm-hmm. Destroy the list. Because your list of what you want in a marriage, what you're saying actually is that I want a person to measure up to this before I will give them an opportunity. Okay. And nobody wants to follow somebody else's list. If my wife had come to me and said, well, yeah, when she met me, I was broke. Y'all don't hear me. I was baroque. Two syllables. I was baroque. And what happened was that she loaned me money for my rent. Mm. She did. But here's the deal. I was broke.
Where's Sister Cal at? Get her on here. Get her on here now.
I was broke, but I was not broken. Mm. And there's a difference, wow. Okay? Because I was completely healed. I was in a great place. I just had a temporary financial setback, right? And so I had made six figures. I was doing well. I was just in a bad position. But what the reason after dating and, you know, being single for 9 years after my first marriage, the reason that I chose her and she chose me was because she came to this marriage and this relationship with a blank slate and said, let's grow together. I'm not coming here with telling you, look, you know, you got to be making this. I've met a Christian woman, body of Christ woman, and she said, if this man is not making $250,000 a year, I said, first of all, you know how many men make $250,000 a year? Do you know how many black men make $250,000 a year? Do you know how many straight black men make $250,000 a year? And then how many men making $250,000 a year want you?
Won't you? That part.
So when you look at it, we have to be more realistic. You don't have to have somebody who's your denomination. You don't have to have somebody, you know, who's going to be in church every week. I'm sorry, you don't. You know,
because I ain't going either.
You know, that's what I'm saying. Let's just be real with it. There are good men out here. And the thing that's so interesting about this, and it's interesting about the show, is that every time we go to a different city, every time I meet all these men, hundreds of men and hundreds of women, and they all say the same thing. Where are all the good men? Where are all the good women? And when we're meeting with them, the women always say, I don't know where you found these men because I can't find none. And the men say, I don't know where you find these women because we can't find any. So you have all these people who are looking and want and are searching, but they're missing each other. They're missing each other because we have these unrealistic expectations. When you're getting married, you have to start at ground zero and build together. Stop. He ain't got to be 6 feet tall. The average man in America is 5'9".
I've been agreeing with everything you said to man.
I'm dead serious. The average height is 5'9". The average is 5'9".
But I need him to be six, at least six.
Okay, fine. Let's say you got him
don't
six.
Don't worry about it. Worry about it.
But you understand where I'm going with this.
If yes, sir. I'm just
calling. If the average man is 5'9", you 5'5", but you got to have somebody 6 feet tall. Where are the good men at? But then you got to be 6 feet. You got to make 100,000. You got to do this. You got to do that. So, you know, really?
So you going to sign me up for the show or not?
Expectations, huh?
Are you going to sign me up for the show or not? I want to know.
You know, we are now taking older people. So we're taking people over 40. Not that you are.
Do you see this gray hair? I've been there.
I'm a prophet.
Pastor J.
In these streets.
With my Baptist finger. I'm finna mute you with my Baptist finger. I'm turning off your mic. That's why they turned it off, because you don't know that.
I know, right?
they shut it off. So Pastor Cal, you did good. I appreciate that, but I'm in there. I got grown children and grandbabies and everything. Good black don't crack though, but I'm over 40.
No, honestly, that's another thing. I believe, you know, my daughter's 24, and she made this. I think she's such a wise girl. And as far as we're talking about people, the trends and all this stuff, and people, women, I thank God I must have done something right, because this is an incredibly traditional young lady, and she said something to me. She said there is probably a woman for every man at any stage of his life. She says, I believe that there's somebody, I think a woman will be with a man, that you just got to find the right woman. You know, women who have been raised by men who have seen positive father images, women who have seen men taken care of, and men who know how to treat women. Because I firmly believe that a young girl learns the kind of man she's going to marry from her dad or her father image. And a man learns the kind of woman he wants to marry from his mother. Or the kind
that
of
why I ain't got no man. Right. My daddy was absent.
Exactly. And now I'm gonna be honest with you. There is a lot there. We ain't got time to unpack it, but there's a lot to be said for that. Because a lot of men.
Send me your number. I need to call. Send me the number. I need to call. I need to lay on the couch virtually or something. This is serious.
A lot of men are absent and they're wondering, well, why are these women not finding men? But do you know what a man looks like? Do you really know what a man looks like? I mean, music videos don't tell you. TikTok don't tell you. Not what a real man looks like. Somebody who's going to be responsible, take care of their home, willing to take a bullet for their family. I'm talking about real men. Mm. You know, women need to know that. And unfortunately, we as men have not done a great job in showing them what that looks like. Mm. So as a result, yeah, the dating pool is thin, but not because the people aren't out there. They're missing each other. I'm going to say this and then I'll be done. My wife and I, we celebrated her birthday. We went to this restaurant and afterwards we were just hanging out and everywhere. And then they started playing music. I was like, okay, what's happening? But they started playing music at this little place down here in Atlanta. All the guys were on one side and all the women were on the other side. And I looked at that, you know, me doing relationships and being in, you know, this is what I do. I noticed and I said, this is so interesting that you have this group of people and all the women are over here and all the men over here. These were single people. I said, why is that? It's like a middle school dance. People are still afraid to engage. And we're afraid to engage because we have not been socialized, because social media is making us very personal. It's making us very just myopic, only focused on ourselves. We've forgotten how to socialize. We've forgotten how to get out there and meet people. We just swiping left and right. We're forgetting it. We're forgetting it. You know, we got to get back to the old ways.
And to add on to that, I read in an article, it's stopped people from learning how to deal with rejection. Absolutely. Because there's instant gratification in social media. You get a like, you get somebody going to agree with you. But what do you do when somebody don't agree with you and somebody tells you no, or someone turns you down? People get devastated because I guess you could say social media has sheltered a lot of people, and social media has grown a whole new generation that they don't even remember what it was like to interact with another human being without social media.
And a lot of what you're seeing in society as far as people who are who can't take no for an answer, people who are just destroyed by rejection, you know, I mean, we see it in our dating. We see it, you know, when people are overly sensitive about everything, you can't say things to people anymore. You know, I got to give you all the proper titles and pronouns and what have you, because everybody's afraid to. I mean, people just don't know how to be. Just be. I'm trying to say, try not to say nothing that's too bad, but. You know,
text it to me. I'll say it for you.
Y'all read between the lines. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. It's like, people are just, you know, you're so silly. It's like people are just too overly sensitive about every freaking thing, you know? Yeah. And I think you're absolutely right, Pastor Jay. It's like, you know, no one can stand rejection. We're just terrified of it. We ball up in a knot. We can't stand rejection. I grew up around rejection, man. Shoot, we had to be tough. That was just the way it was. Yeah.
Man.
Definitely.
Everybody.
Yeah, I think.
Go ahead, Yuda.
No. I'm go ahead, sir.
Oh, okay. I'm closing it out. So if you got anything else to say, say it now or forever hold your peace.
I'm just being silly per usual. So go ahead and close it out.
Amen. Hallelujah. Everybody lift your hands towards Yuda and pray for his spirit. Amen. In Jesus' name. So, everybody, Pastor Cal, I'm so excited that I was able to have you on to the show. Give a little background, and I say this in public, man, we had a miscommunication. You were supposed to come on the show last year, and it was a miscommunication, but God's timing.
Absolutely.
This was definitely God's
timing. See, because I'm going to get me a boo out of this. See, the timing is perfect.
Boo coming.
Give me a boo.
Boo coming.
Yuda wasn't on the show last year. Yuda had to, you know, come on to the show, and God just waited for this interview so that she could be able to find her a boo.
Let me fix my hair.
So she could be grandma and pawpaw with her grandbabies. Amen. Yeah. I want to thank you, Pastor
Cal. I'm gonna call you after the show. Don't worry about it.
I appreciate you, Pastor Cal, for coming on. One thing I always say to everybody is that here on Anointed Radio, we believe that unity brings change. And one thing that you was able to do tonight was give me something valuable. And what that valuable was, it was your time. And we appreciate you for coming on, talking with us, laughing with us, joking with us, talking serious, dropping dimes. And here at Anointed Radio, we always believe that now that you've been on the show, we family now. So anything that we can do as a platform for anything that you're doing, any endeavors that you're doing, we're definitely here to promote it, push it, and talk about it so that we could be, you know, a support system. Because my vision when I opened up Anointed Radio that God gave me is that if the body of Christ come together, instead of everybody doing their individual things, we could be able to be a greater impact for the unsaved compared to trying to compete for the people that's already saved. So I thank you, Pastor Cal. I got Pastor Cal from Married on First Sight on the show. Hey,
where can we get the book? I need that one right on the shelf right back there. Where can I get that?
You can go to marriageaintforpunks.com. Yeah, that's our website. Or you can just, wherever books are sold, they're in Barnes and Noble, Amazon, wherever books are sold, you can get one.
Amen.
But I need you to touch mine and put some Earl on it. I need you to put the Earl on there and just touch it.
You know,
touch it.
Whole bunch of
Pastor Jay, can you get me a book?
Don't touch the website.
Pastor Jay, get me a book from the man of God. I got my money. Don't worry about it. I ain't begging. I'm buying. Get me a book.
Lord have mercy. Amen. So, and Pastor Cal, and we didn't do this earlier. Go ahead and tell everybody where they could reach out to you, your social media, your websites, all those good things.
Great. On Instagram, I am Calvin Roberson. I am Calvin Roberson. Also, Marriage Ain't for Punks on Instagram. Or you can go to our website, Marriage Ain't for Punks also. And TikTok. We're on TikTok, you know, thanks to my son. So I think that is MAFP, Marriage Ain't for Punks, MAFP on Instagram.
I love it.
MAFP, yeah. On TikTok. And then look out for our app coming out. You're going to be hearing about it. We've lined up some major national media exposure. So you'll be seeing more about it and hearing more about it. But marriageaintforpunks.com, you can find out.
Amen. So everybody, make sure that you go and follow Pastor Cal. The upcoming season of Married at First Sight, the new season, when is that going to drop?
Oh my gosh. When I find out, I'll let you guys know. We're in the process.
I'm going to be on there.
Yielded. We're in the process. We're in the process of working out all those finalities. We just ended the last season. And so it will be coming up very shortly. So just keep your ears and eyes open. We've already advertised, you know, where it's going to be. So it's already been advertised that it's going to be in Chicago, but you'll be seeing the air date coming up, I'm sure pretty soon.
Amen. And I definitely got to throw this gem out there. When is it coming to Las Vegas? Because there's some saints and some people out here in the city of Las Vegas that need some love.
Because this know trend, what?
This is what y'all need out there. Y'all need this before marriage.
You know what? The oil. You know what? We
it's dry out there.
We've considered Las Vegas, and it's not out of the question. You know, there are a number of factors that we keep in mind when going to a city. One is diversity. The other one is how easy is it to film there that you don't have to get just overloaded with permits. You know, how accessible is the city? You know, to get around and what have you. There are a few things that we consider, but definitely
that's why y'all ain't been here.
But I know. We've been to Houston.
No, they've been to Houston.
Oh, y'all been here? Well,
yes.
Why y'all ain't called me?
We went to Houston. We filmed. We went to Austin. You haven't seen that yet. But Houston, we did go to Houston.
Yep.
And Dallas.
Wasn't my time. It wasn't my time.
Your time.
The when time you... is now.
That's right.
So I'm ready now. I'm ready.
Amen. And Pascal, I just thank you for coming on. And everybody, make sure you go and follow Pastor Cal. and stay tuned. All his app, his book, Married at First Sight. Definitely keep supporting. I'm an Uber fan. You know, maybe one day it'll come to Vegas and I could be one of those guest advisors. Be like, yeah, this Pastor Jay, y'all. I'm just saying.
All right. When we come to, I'm definitely gonna look you up when we come. If we come to Vegas, but it is something that we've talked about. So definitely.
Oh, fact. So the Stellas could be like, we ain't the only big thing that come to Vegas. So. Right. One thing that I want everybody to do is, if you have not, follow us on the podcast platform. We're on the podcast platform. We're on everything. We're on iHeartRadio. We're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're on everything but Tidal. So it's very easy for you to be able to find and assess us, Anointed Radio Network. And make sure that you guys download the Anointed Radio Network app for 24-hour gospel. It has a scripture a day, has an alarm clock, has all kind of stuff. Definitely go check out the Anointed Radio app. And you can follow us at LV Anointed Radio. Because if you're just coming in, you just missed a great interview. We're going to be on the great podcast system where you can listen to the whole podcast playback on Spotify and everything else. So follow us there at Anointed Radio. Shout out to everybody on Facebook who tuned in from the Anointed Radio page. Make sure you like it. All of our YouTube people, make sure that you follow Anointed Radio on YouTube. And all my Twitch people, I don't know if y'all there, because I don't know how to work Twitch, but if you're there, I love y'all. And shout out to all of my Twitter people, because I know that's my stomping grounds right there. Shout out to all the Twitter people and everybody else that has tuned in. We had a great show. Share, like, subscribe, much love. And like I'm going to always say, there's somebody for you out there. You just got to know who it is. That's so true. Hey, keep in the name of the Lord daily and drink water. And we'll see y'all next week. Bye, everybody. Bye. Talk.